seated. Glad that you're here this morning, and I hope you've come expecting a blessing from the Lord. And so this morning we wrap up our sermon. We've been looking at the I am statements of Jesus, and hope it's been a good series for you. If you've missed one or two, I would encourage you to go back and listen to them. So I think part of the reason why these statements are so important is it helps us to remember that we are not who we are on our own making or on our own standing, but we are who we are based on who Jesus is. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are not because you are, but you are because of who He is. And our identity is found in Him. And so this morning, as we look at the last one, it is that a reminder that there are some places Apple Maps can't get you. I remember traveling in Jacksonville, Florida, several years ago, and I had the GPS on, and I was trying to get to downtown to a conference, and went over the bridge of the St. John River, which it's a pretty big river. It's a big bridge. I was in the middle of this bridge. The bridge is several miles long, and it said, turn right. I'm like, what do you mean turn right? And so I started looking. I expected there'd be an exit right here. Well, there was no exit. Thankfully, I didn't just veer off because I would have ended up in the river. I did eventually get to the exit I was supposed to be getting off on, but sometimes the GPS just doesn't get you where, it takes you weird ways. But most of the time, even when it takes you what you think are kind of odd ways, it does usually get you there. When you listen. And so when, but there are places that Apple Maps doesn't go. In Mississippi, there's a lot of little towns that Apple Maps knows nothing about. Me and Bert George talked about that. We've got the association meeting coming up on Saturday in Thaxton. And chances are pretty good you've never heard of Thaxton and couldn't tell me where Thaxton was. Apple Maps says it knows where the church, it knows where Pleasant Grove Church. I put the address and typed it, and it came up. So I'm praying, and Brother George is praying, that we find our way to Pleasant Grove Church on Saturday. But there are some places that only Jesus can get you, and that's what we want to talk about today. So we're going to read John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, bless Thomas's heart. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will also do, because I'm going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What a great reminder of how God is always with us, and that he needs to be our source of peace. Lots of people found out in recent history, you put your faith in politicians. Well, you weren't very smart to start with, but you found out, guess what? Politicians will let you down. And people put their faith in the stock market and that it's going to deliver. We have found, especially recent history, that the stock market sometimes goes up, but we've also found the stock market goes down, doesn't it? We've put our trust or our faith, and we said, listen, this is, I know I've arrived because I own a house or I own a car or, whatever it may be. But the reality is the things of this world break down and fall apart. But there is one that never leaves us and never forsakes us. In fact, he says he sticks closer to us than a brother. And so as we live in this world, and listen, the world we're living in 2025, it's a mess. You have to take the news in small doses because you can't, if you watch news all day, you're going to go crazy and get depressed because there's a lot of nonsense going on, not only here in our own community, but in our own nation, but in this world. It's crazy. And the thing is that it will get better, but the reason it's going to get better is because Jesus is going to come back again one day. And that's why Jesus could tell his disciples, remember, he is about to be led away and crucified, and he knows that. Chapter 13, Jesus washes the disciples' feet after the Lord's Supper. So that's just happened. And Jesus knows that he is going to be crucified in just a short amount of time. But Jesus also knows he's going to rise again on the third day. You see, Jesus knew Good Friday was going to happen, but he also knew Easter was going to happen. And we have the benefit of history, and we can look back and say, you know what? It happened. Just the way that Jesus said that it was. So Jesus comes out of the gate after washing the disciples' feet, and he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he's going to go on, he's going to say in verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is the same today as he was when he spoke these words. And he's still the way, the truth, and the life. And so one of the things that is pervasive in our world today is war. Mankind has been looking for peace for a long, long time, and they haven't found it. Because peace does not come in tanks, peace does not come in handshakes, or even in treaties. The only true lasting peace comes from a personal relationship with Jesus. And so Jesus could tell his disciples, and he can tell us, listen, don't let your heart be troubled. This world is crazy. But it's okay. And you're going to be okay. No matter what circumstances come, no matter what is falling apart around you, Jesus is not falling apart. He's still there. And so he reminds us of the way, and that's what we're talking about this morning, is Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the first thing I want us to see this morning is Jesus is the way to peace. So I've already started talking about, listen, we like to have peace talks and make deals and treaties and all those things, and I think there's a place for those things, but we also know through history that just as easy as a peace treaty can be made, a peace treaty can be broken. The way to true, lasting peace is a man named Jesus. Not Donald Trump or Joe Biden, or you put whoever's politician's name you want to put in there, you put in there. They're not going to bring peace. But the one that can bring peace and has brought peace and will continue to bring peace is Jesus. He is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords today, and so regardless of what's going on in your life, just as he told his disciples, he tells us, do not be afraid. Don't be anxious. Don't let your heart be troubled. Why? The world's falling apart. Jesus has walked with these men for 3 years. And he knows that he's about to leave them. And he knows that over that 3 years' time that he's poured into them, they still largely don't get it. They still are as clueless as the day when he called them the first time. I guarantee you it frustrated him. We see that here as he talks to Thomas. I suspect maybe Peter had just been rebuked in chapter 13, so maybe he's a little gun-shy, because I think he probably normally would have spoke up in the situation. But it's Thomas, doubting Thomas, that speaks up. He says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And if we don't know where you're going, how can we possibly know the way? And Jesus wanted to say it this way, you idiot, how are you so clueless? He put it a little bit more tactfully. He said, guys, you have seen me. And you know who I am, even though you don't fully realize it. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jack Stallings, Free Will Baptist pastor, wrote the Randall House commentary on the Gospel of John. He had a great quote. I want to share it with you. He said, the way to heaven is not a plan or a principle or a force, but a person. Men get to heaven by a personal knowledge of and a relationship with this person. Not only is Jesus the way, he is the only way. No man can come to God by any other. Only through him may man approach God. All other ways are useless. And that's as true today as it was when Jesus spoke these words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And you better believe that was offensive to those that heard it. It's offensive to people today. Because that went contrary to how the Jews believed in the traditions that they had. And, you know, how true it is, even today, we've got to get people lost before we can get them saved. Because so many think they're okay. Hey, I grew up in church. Maybe I got saved at church camp. Maybe I've been baptized. Maybe my grandfather's a preacher, or my grandfather's a deacon in a church, so hey, I've got a ticket, I'm good. But the reality is none of those things get us there. The only thing that can get us there is a personal relationship with Jesus. And when Jesus is our Lord, he is our peace. That's where we find peace. Not that all the trouble evaporates, because listen, we all know that when we're trying to follow Jesus, and when we make, isn't it true that when you make a renewed commitment to follow Jesus, that's when things get more difficult in your life? And that's when the pressure gets up and the temperature gets up. And yet God proves himself to be faithful. And so he says, and we don't fully understand, we can't fully understand the reality of the Trinity, how Jesus Christ was fully man, but also fully God. And the concept of the Trinity, you know, theologians have been discussing it for centuries, and we're just as confused today as they were hundreds of years ago. But here's the thing, maybe we don't have to understand it. Maybe we just need to believe it. Because that's what faith is. Faith is believing even when you don't get it. Even though Thomas and Peter and the other disciples didn't fully get it, they still continued to walk with Jesus. And they became the first leaders of the early church. And they were faithful even unto death. Until they took their last breath, they were preaching Jesus. Which leads me to the second thing I want to talk about. Not only is Jesus the way to peace, but Jesus shows us the way to practice. He said, listen, if you want to know and you want what God wants you to do, look at Jesus and follow his example. Now, Jesus is not saying to the disciples or to us that we're going to become many gods. But Jesus does say, and it's his word, it's not Aaron's word, it's Jesus' words. This is what he said. He said, you've seen what the works that I've done, and if you love me, if you follow me, if you really are my disciple, you will do these same things. And he didn't stop there. And he goes on to say, and you will do even greater things than what I've done. Holy moly. Now, it is not the disciple. Listen, we know, we've seen them. As we've read through John's gospel, these guys are, that's what I said, they're a bunch of idiots. They're not the shining, rising, you know, religious stars. They're not the kids anybody would have picked out of their Sunday school class to be a future preacher. But they were 12 ordinary, frail, broken men that Jesus called to follow him. And this side of heaven, they didn't become perfect, but they did become changed. And they followed Jesus. And so they preached Jesus, and they preached the message that Jesus preached, and they did the things that Jesus did. The book of Acts records for us the history of the early church, and in the early chapters, especially of the book of Acts, we find especially Peter going about doing some things. Peter proclaimed truth. Peter cast out demons. Peter healed people of diseases. How could Peter do that? He did those things because Jesus did those things. But Jesus told the disciples that not only would you do the things that I've done, but you'll do even greater things. Now, it wasn't that, you know, we need to go out, we need to try to turn water into wine, or that we need to become faith healers and go bopping people on the head. No, but what Jesus is saying is that I am going to do greater things through you. Because you see, it's still Jesus that is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not you. It's him. But if you know him, he lives in you. And guess what? You follow him and you act like him. It's not just that you know the name of Jesus. Even the devil knows the name of Jesus and knows who Jesus is. The demons know Jesus and who he is. So if you're going to say, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus, it's not just knowing Jesus' name. It's not just knowing some facts about Jesus, but it's behaving and acting like Jesus. So Jesus prayed. Can I tell you, if Jesus needed to spend time praying, me and you definitely need to do it. If Jesus needed to show up for church on a regular basis, you better believe me and you better be in church when we need it. It doesn't make us saved, but it shows that we are, doesn't it? We read God's Word. Jesus meditated on God's Word. He was meditating on Himself. He knew it backwards and forwards and inside and out, and yet He studied it and He taught it. Jesus also loved others. He shared. He fed the hungry. He clothed the naked. He visited the sick. And so I think Jesus wants us to say, listen, I'm the way, so if you want to get to heaven, if you want to find the way to eternal life, if you want to find the way to peace, I've laid out the roadmap for you. It's leaving the things of this world and leaving yourself, you know, not trusting in yourself, not trusting in the things of this world, but trusting in Jesus Christ and who He is. He is the I Am. You are not. And then He said, not only as we wrap up, so He said, this is the things you ought to do. But then lastly, He shows us the way to pray. Jesus made some very bold statements in this chapter. He goes on and said, He said, you're going to do great things. And He wasn't, you know, blowing smoke. He wasn't trying to puff them up. He was saying, listen, you think you've seen some stuff? You've not seen anything yet. And so He just reminds us that we need to behave like Jesus. But He also went on to say, you know what? If, as you're doing these things, and if you're really My disciple, and you do these greater works, He says in verse 13 and 14, whatever you ask in My name, I'll think about it. That's not what it says. He says, whatever you ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, we need to understand that Jesus was not saying, well, I'm just going to name it and claim it. That is not what Jesus was talking about. And I mean that, hey, I'm sick, I'm just going to plead the blood of Jesus and, you know, pray and sing and trust everything's going to be good. God sometimes does heal us by His supernatural hand, but can I tell you, 99% of the time, He heals us with doctors that He gave some brains to, and to know about how the human body works, and some chemists and folks that came up with some medicine to heal us. So it's not that we just pray whatever we want to pray, or that if we pray, listen, Lord, I need $1,000, and poof, just $1,000 is going to. No. That's not how it works. God is not some kind of genie hiding in a bottle that we can just rub and get what we want. Jesus was saying, if you're following Me and you're doing the things that I did and you're following the way, the things that you pray for are going to be in accordance to His will. And so as you pray, you're going to see God answer those prayers. And isn't it true that when we see God answer our prayer, especially when He says yes, oftentimes we're surprised? Catches off guard, doesn't it? Jesus said, listen, don't be like that. Pray trusting that your Father hears you. And know that I will work it out for you when you pray in my name. And he's talking about when you're praying according to the will that I have. Now, anytime we pray anything that's contrary to God's will, God's going to tell us no. But by the way, no is just a authentic answer as yes is. It's not one we like as well, but it's a valid answer nonetheless, isn't it? And so Jesus says, listen, how do you have peace? How do you practice the way? How do you know how to pray? His answer is this, me. Not preacher, but Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when you need to know which way you ought to go, you don't punch it into Apple and ask Siri. You go to Jesus and say, Lord, what should I do? And trust that God will guide you and help you to know the right path. Or if you're uncertain, you know, if you ought to do something or not, and you ask God, God will tell you. The Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And God will show it to him. That doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen easily. And it doesn't happen by accident. None of these things do. Just like when you end up wherever you're going on a trip, you don't end up there on accident. You end up there either because you knew where you were going and you knew how to get there, or you typed it in the GPS and followed when you turned when it told you to turn and went where it told you to go. Jesus says that same thing is true in our spiritual life. That when we look to Him and He is our way and He is our truth, and He is our life. In other words, He's the source of all those things, like He should be, then we'll find we're right where we need to be. And we find that God is leading and blessing and directing our path. But the opposite's also true, that just like you can ignore that GPS, you can ignore Jesus. You can get off the right way and go the wrong way. But the thing is that the Holy Spirit will direct you and convict you when you do that. And say, listen, dum-dum, turn around. Just like your GPS said when you missed your turn, it says recalculating, recalculating. When possible, make a U-turn. The Holy Spirit says to us, hey, you're going the wrong way, turn around. And here's the thing, God said, well, he turned his own way. Let him go, see where he ends up. I'm done with him. God doesn't do that, and I'm thankful that he does not do that. I hope you are too. I suspect you probably are. But even as we're going the wrong way, God calls out to us saying, hey, turn around. Turn around. Come back this way. Because when we go away other than Jesus, we're headed for failure and destruction, not life. It's only by following the way of Jesus that we find truth and that we find life. And so it's not in who we are, and it's not in what we have, but our identity needs to be locked in who Jesus is. And we need to understand that our identity is tied to Him. And when He's the Lord of our life, when He's the one we're following, it's going to be okay. So we don't have to worry. We just keep trusting Him, walking how He's asked us to walk. And if we're following His footsteps, we're heading in the right direction. Let's pray again. Lord, we love You. Thank You for Your goodness and Your love to us. Lord, thank You for Your grace. Thank You that You are the way, that You do show us. You've come to show us to the Father. You came to show us eternal life. And You came to buy that purchase price of the ticket to eternal life for us. And You paid that price, Lord, by shedding Your blood. That whosoever would call upon You would have eternal life. And our prayer is that there's somebody here today or watching on the internet that's never made that decision and never received that free gift of salvation, might they find new life today by simply coming to You and receiving that gift. Say, Lord, I want to be in You. Lord, help us to always walk Your way and Your path. And Lord, when we start to veer off, quicken us and put us back on the right path. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Friend, let's stand together. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And if God spoke to your heart and there's a decision you need to make, today would be a great day to make that decision for the Lord.